Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Spirit of God, we make a demand on your revelation, your insight, your enlightenment. Our understanding of the creation of things began with these words, let there be light. So here in this environment today with beautiful people who could be anywhere else today, they could be enjoying a Sunday afternoon in the park, and yet they're here. I don't want to waste their time. I want them to hear what they need to hear. So once again, as the Spirit is vibrating over the face of the deep, we speak into the atmosphere, and we say, let there be light. If you could just say it with me together, one, two, three, let there be light. Amen. You may be seated. Those of you that are just logging on to the podcast, what is that what they do? Do they log on to a podcast? What's the proper way to say that? Tuned into the podcast? Turned on the podcast? What do they do to the podcast?
Hit play.
Those of you who have just logged on to the Metron Live podcast, we are coming to you live from Metron in beautiful, historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a hand. Hello, hello, hello. I love what we're talking about this month. My title is The Sound of Silence. And I can't remember what the rest of the... What is it?
We don't have the projector back.
Oh, we don't have a screen back. It's something about... What was it exactly? Discovering the power of the serene mind. Those of you that are listening to this, we just lost power in the theater a minute ago. So it's taking a minute for everything to get back up. The scripture reference that I'm using to begin with is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I've taken it out of the New King James Version. It pretty much says the same thing in all the translations. Verses 1 through 8 is that very familiar passage, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. It's a great passage. If you ever have to do a funeral or whatever, it's just a great passage because it's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to... embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. But down in verse 7, it says there is a time to speak and a time to keep silence. What I want to talk about this month, and we're going to incorporate meditation into it, especially because in a couple of weeks we're going down to Jekyll Island for a meditation weekend. We're very excited about that. I want you to understand why we meditate. When Ecclesiastes says there's a time to speak and a time to be silent, I think among Christians there's way too much talking and not enough listening. I remember in the Pentecostal church, it was very typical for everybody to come down to the altar and pray in English. Everybody's praying something different at the same time at the top of their voice. Now, I never got diagnosed ADD, but I can just tell you that's very distracting for, you know, when you can't decide who you got to listen to, who we agreeing with. I never felt that way. If everybody was speaking in tongues or praying in a prayer language, that didn't distract me, because then you're not really, you're just hearing it. You're not really, your ear's not picking up trying to connect with it. I remember when everybody used to be just praying something, they were all praying something different. Even as a kid, I used to think, how are we, which thing is God listening to? I'm sure this comes up every time there's a football game that both sides are praying for. You know, like you look at the when the camera pans the crowd in the final seconds of a game, you could tell both sides are praying. And the question is, which side gets the answer to the prayer? You know, like the idea of meditation, it's not to replace prayer, but the idea generally for those of us who have a background in prayer is stop saying what you want God to do and get quiet and find out what you already know, because as cliche as this sounds, the answers really are inside of you. I posted it again last night. I've referred to it before, but I posted a different picture of Glenda speaking to the Oz characters at the end of Wizard of Oz, when she says to Glinda, "You've always had the power to go home, go back to Kansas." And the Scarecrow says, "Well, if she did, why didn't you tell her that?" And then Glinda says, "Because she wouldn't have believed me. She had to learn it for herself." And that is just the truth for all of us. There's some things nobody can tell you. You've got to learn it. John says, "You have no need that any man should teach you." You say, "Well, then, Bishop, if there's no need for any man to teach me, why do we get up and come over here today?" Because I'm not really teaching you. I'm stimulating inside of you what you already know. The word educate means to draw out. If anything, I'm just confirming what you already know. That's why sometimes it feels familiar to you. That's kind of been my unofficial litmus test over the years, is how you know if I'm your pastor. If I confirm stuff to you that feels familiar, that you already kind of believed. When somebody says to me, "You say things I've never heard anybody say over the microphone, but I've always kind of thought those things and felt those things," well, that probably means I'm the spiritual voice in your life, or somebody like, I may not be the only one, but I am at least a spiritual voice in your life. And so there's actually, in this day and age, an art that you have to develop to learn to quiet down, settle down, and listen to your inner man. Friday of this week was May the 4th, and that's the day everybody says, "May the 4th be with you," and a lot of Star Wars references. But so much of what Star Wars tapped into with the whole idea about getting quiet and learning the Force, that's really basically how we were taught in the charismatic church to walk in the Spirit. It's like, you know, stop doing everything in your effort and learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. The term parakletos is the Greek word helper. It means the one who literally stands by to help. But how many times have you recognized you have not because you ask not? Typically, whatever your concept of God is, he, she, it does not interfere with your life until you invite that presence into your life, until you ask. What is it in James where he says, let him ask in faith, because a man who doesn't ask in faith is like like he talks about a ship who's tossed to and fro. And that's where he says there in verse 8, a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. And so the idea is I've got to stimulate the spiritual in my life, but it doesn't always happen verbally. As much as I believe in the power of the creative word, and you know, we've even talked about how the term abracadabra came from an Aramaic term, which literally means I create as I speak. So I totally believe in the power of words. I also believe in the power of silence. Again, Ecclesiastes 1:7, there is a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. If you're just talking all the time, you're going to end up creating some stuff that you don't want to create. And I can tell you that by experience. When you know you have spiritual authority, you have to really watch your words, because they really do manifest. The word really does become flesh. And every logos is wanting to become a rhema. Every impulse of the Spirit is wanting to become flesh. And so you have to be careful, because you end up having good and bad stuff in your life. You know, again, referring to James, you get over there in chapter 3, he talks about the power of the tongue, and he says, out of the same fountain flows poison water and clean water. He says, brethren, these things ought not to be. What he's saying is you got good and bad stuff happening in your life because you've sown peas and corn. You didn't just sow one thing. There's also a time just to shut up, because if you say something, you're going to make the thing worse. I've also learned that by example. Sometimes there is just a power of silence. Sometimes well-meaning people trying to minister to other people make somebody's situation worse because they say stuff that doesn't need to be said. When I talked to Chandra yesterday on the phone, who'd lost her father, I didn't tell her not to. She was weepy on the phone. I didn't tell her not to cry. It's a crying when a parent has died is a normal response. It is abnormal for somebody to tell you not to do that. And I've been to some funerals. I've had some loved ones. I remember when my mom's sister died years ago, 30 years ago. When we went to the funeral, we were told, do not cry. She's with the Lord. She's in a better place. The implication was, if you cry over this, you don't believe she's with the Lord. And I remember sucking it up, like, well, okay, I guess we're not supposed to have an emotional response. And months later, I was at my other aunt's house, and I said, you know, I don't feel like we ever really grieved for Joan. I don't feel like, I mean, we were told, you know, if you cry at this funeral, you're an unbeliever. It's basically what we were told. And we all started sitting around the table talking about her. We all started crying. And we actually had her funeral some months later. We didn't cry about it for days, but just for a moment there, we had a response that was emotional. Now, sometimes you just need to let somebody feel what they got to feel. Sometimes when you tell somebody, oh, it's not that bad, or it could be worse. I'll tell you, the one I hate is when somebody tells you it could be worse. Because then that doesn't make me feel better about my situation. It just makes me feel bad for the other person. That doesn't make me feel better. My point is sometimes when you mean well in trying to comfort somebody, it's better just to be quiet and put your arm around them. Just sit, hold somebody's hand and cry with them, or just feel with them, or just go get them something to eat, and you don't have to say anything. I have had people who have tried to comfort me before that I thought, if you don't shut up, I don't know what I'm going to do, because your attempts at comforting are making this situation much worse for me. That's why I'm not necessarily the best guy at everybody's funeral. I've done funerals for some of y'all, but, you know, I just tell it like it is. Like, I've done funerals for, like, kids that have died, and somebody's up there saying, well, God needed another flower in his garden. And I'm like, if that was my kid that just died, I would be like, why the heck did he need mine? I would just rather say, I can't imagine what you're going through. I've never lost a child. I can't imagine what that must feel like. The only thing I can tell you is God will get you through it. And I don't have all the answers. And the Holy Spirit will comfort you and give you the peace that passes understanding. And one day maybe you'll understand it better. But for me to sit here and try to make it make sense that God made that car wreck happen that killed your 15-year-old, I've been to some of those kind of funerals, and I followed the guy who said that stuff, and I would say, in all due respect to Bishop so-and-so, I got to tell you, I don't want to be here today. I wish none of us was here. The best I can tell you is be careful, you know, don't let this happen to you, but in the meantime, this is horrible. This isn't, don't make this into the will of God. I hate this. And not everybody likes to hear that. They like to hear, God had a plan. I tell you, the God with the plan gets on my nerves sometimes, because some of the stuff that people tell, you know, the horrible stuff that happens to people, God knows what he's doing. God, well, really? Well, I wish he'd get a better plan, because this one's not working so good. We'll understand it better by and by. Yeah, well, okay. That I might can agree with, but don't tell me this was God's plan, because it's really kind of pissing me off a little bit. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Bleep that from the... It's aggravating me. Next scripture I want to show you. Y'all still with me? I got 6 more points to go. Y'all better wake up. we still have a screen. Well, then... So I don't have any of my quotes or anything. All right, no, you know what? It's fine. I have it on my phone. You know? What?
You did this before there were screens.
Y'all? Somebody needs to write this down. Y'all getting some... Oh, Jonas says, thanks for having me. I had fun as always. Had to run to work. Okay. He wasn't just leaving. He has to work. That's good. I'm glad my son has a job. That makes me happy. That my children are gainfully employed. The next scripture I wanted to show you is out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. And in the Message, I love the way it's... we actually used to sing a song, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." It's a beautiful passage. In the Message Bible in Habakkuk 2:20, it says, "But oh, God is in his holy temple. Quiet, everyone. A holy silence. Listen." I don't know if you know anything about the Quakers, but the Quakers were a very interesting, kind of a cool religious group. I wouldn't call them a sect nearly necessarily, but their whole point, as I understand Quakerism, is you would come together and be silent and just wait and hear what God would say. And again, there's not enough of that going on. I think when you're really in the presence of greatness, when you're in the presence of someone that you're kind of in awe of, it probably makes you want to be quiet. Like I've been blessed to meet people that I admired a lot, and I found that when I actually met them, I didn't have that much to say to them. I really just kind of wanted to be in their presence and sort of soak it up, you know? Especially when it's somebody that you know they've already heard this 10 million times, you know? But anyway, I can't pronounce this Vietnamese monk's name, but you... Thich Nhat Hanh, is that how you pronounce his name? Thichnhat Hanh. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He's quoted a lot. Apparently, I need to bone up on my Vietnamese. But I love this. He says, "Peace is present right here and now in ourselves and in everything we do and see. Every breath we take, every step we take, can be filled with peace, joy, and serenity. The question is whether or not we are in touch with it. We need only to be awake, alive in the present moment." You know, there's this phrase I keep hearing. Young people use this phrase a lot, is stay woke. You hear this a lot now? Stay woke. When somebody says, "Well, I'm woke now," usually they say it means I am more aware of what's going on in the world and I'm not blindly following along with society. But there's something I really like about that idea of stay woke. When I hear it, I interpret it spiritually. Stay awakened spiritually. Be aware of what's going on. If you don't learn to be quiet, like when we're on the beach, I'm not going to be teaching you a lot. I want to take you there, get you settled down, and get you to listen to that surf coming in. Because that ocean making that sound is going to tell you more than 100 sermons I could tell you. But somebody has to facilitate it. Somebody has to have the idea to get you there, to get you in that place. Because if you don't know that the sea talks to you, you need to stay woke. I'm so woke that, like yesterday, walking around the park, I didn't even tell Ken half of the things I was thinking, but, like, and this is before everything got really crazy with the Uber driver, but just walking around the park, it was such a beautiful day, and I'm looking at some of the trees, and, you know, I learned when I was in school, did y'all ever learn the Joyce Kilmer poem? I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. It's actually, it's a cool poem because there is something about, there's so much you learn from a tree, and I was just contemplating. We passed this, I think it was an elm tree, and I'm looking at it, and it's so symmetrical the way that it's grown, and it's so beautiful. And, you know, when you see a tree, you're only seeing half of it because it actually, that exact size exists under the ground because the branches go out as far as the root system does. There's just so much you learn from a tree. And you know, the last time we were in the park, all those trees were bare, and now they're all green and leafy. That's just amazing. I mean, I've seen 60 springs now, and I'm still blown away by them, you know? Like, if you didn't know, if you just saw that landscape back in January, and somebody said, a few weeks from now, all this is going to be green, you'd be like, well, how's that going to happen? Who's gonna make that happen? Nobody's going to make it happen. It just happens. They just It just happens. I'm just blown away by that. I mean, it's really blown me away this year. I guess as you get older, not that I think I'm about to check out anytime soon, but it does make you more careful about how you spend your time. You know what I mean? When, you know, when you're 12, 13, 14, you think you're going to live forever, and, you know, just as you get older and you realize how fast time is going, it makes you, to me, it makes me appreciate the seasonal changes more. I just appreciate all of it, and I'm glad that I do. And I think, wow, this time next year, am I going to look at a tree and start crying? Am I going to be that guy? And I think, well, okay, that's cool. I mean, I want to be that in touch with nature that it speaks to me. David was tuned in that way. I mean, if you didn't know better, you think David had dropped a little acid because he was. Yeah, you know, he would say things like, the trees of the field are clapping their hands. I've heard people who've been on acid trips who've said, I heard trees talking to me. Well, David did. He said, I know you can't hear it, but everything that has breath is praising the Lord, and the waves actually have hands, and they're clapping their hands, and let the trees of the field clap their hands. He was hearing everything as an orchestra of this symphony of praise to God. Even just yesterday, just sitting on a park bench, we're just sitting there waiting to decide what we're going to do before all the craziness started. And I'm on my phone, he's on his phone, we're just chilling out. But I was listening to birds singing. I thought, oh, wow, I haven't heard birds singing in a little while. And it was just nice just to sit there and hear that, you know, like they're all singing. I don't want to ever take that for granted. And so, there again, if you don't learn to be quiet, you won't hear all the things around you that is telling you the way to go, is telling you the way to feel. This next one, this is number four by Timber Hawkeye. And this is probably the best thing I'm going to say all day. You know, I've referred several times the last few months about next level thinking. And I've used the analogy of Jesus calming the storm. And I said, you know, what he says is, let us cross to the other side. He didn't say, oh. Yeah, that's what I was trying to pronounce. See why I couldn't? Thank you, Michelle. Go on to the next one. But we talked about, he says, let us go to the other side. He didn't say, let's pray for good weather. And he gets in the boat and he falls asleep. That's serenity. When you're in the boat, you can sleep. Then the storm comes up. You know, the disciples come in and they say, do you not care that we're about to perish? So he wakes up and rebukes them and says, oh, you have little faith. And he says, peace be still. Most of us, like all the preaching I ever heard in my life, all the gospel songs I ever heard about that was all about him calming the storm. All we have wanted is just stop the storm. And if that's as high as your thinking goes, then the storm still has power over you. Because it's all about the storm. Jesus is third level. He's asleep in the boat. Third level is him not, rebuking them but granting their wish. Like, all right, I'm gonna have compassion on you. I'm going to rebuke this storm. But I'm trying to set an example that you guys shouldn't even care about the storm because I said, let us cross to the other side. And this is what I love about this quote. He says, you can't calm the storm, which, of course, sometimes we can, but just for the sake of point, go with this. You can't calm the storm, so stop trying. What you can do is calm yourself. The storm will pass. Now that will preach. Because what we've obsessed over is stop that storm, stop that storm, stop that storm. You just scroll down your Facebook feed sometimes and look. It's like nearly a third of everything you see on there is somebody who's in crisis. Everybody's in crisis. You know, y'all pray for me. And I get it. We were up this morning. You know, Ken was having a situation in his body. We kind of haven't slept all night. By about 4 o'clock, I was tempted to get on Facebook and go, if any of y'all are awake, we could use a little prayer right now. But I knew if I did, then it makes it sound worse than it is. And then people are like, what's going on? And then my phone starts buzzing with private messages. What's happening? I'm like, it ain't worth it. Don't get the Christians stirred up. I love them. But once you ever say that, then you get all the private messages. What's really going on? Like, it ain't worth it, Miss Seeley. Don't do it. Just let them sleep. But I understand why there's that moment of, pray for me. Y'all know that phone number that comes up on your phone, that when you see that number, you're like, oh, this ain't going to be good. Because it's somebody who's always in crisis. You know, when you look at it, you go, cleansing breath before I answer this, because this won't be good news. You know, I don't want to stereotype people, but this doesn't happen so much now because I've unfollowed so many people on my feed that I kind of only see three people now. But I'm friends with 5,000, but I only follow about four. There's some people, when I look at my phone and it says so-and-so's left a message, there's some people you go, oh, this will be good. Because, you know, this person's always affirming, positive, has a get-it factor. There's other people you're like, oh, this will be sarcastic. Because that's what that person always does. Or it'll be somebody who'll say something, you're like, oh, this is going to be argumentative. You know, because I've had those people that just something simple you put on there, that they have to show you the counterpoint. And you're like, really? Are we arguing about that? I've taken some stuff down because I'm like, I could win an argument with you, but I'm trying to sit in the park, listen to a bird sing right now, and I just don't want to fight with you. You're wrong and stupid. But the scripture says, let he who is ignorant be ignorant still. Because you can't even change everybody. And please, after I say this, I don't want messages from people going, are you talking about me today? No, I'm not talking about you. Present company excluded. I'm saying we all have somebody in our life that you know, they live in crisis mode. Some people like living in crisis mode. The president said it recently. He said, I like crisis. He said, I like creating it. He said, that's how I've always done business. That's not a political statement. He said it. That's a direct quote. He says, I like when people are pitted against each other. He said, that's when I feel energized. And, you know, people don't realize that's what he thrives on. Some people don't like that. That's his way of thinking. What? But there, I know people that like, every time you talk to them, you know when I did that teaching about the list? I said, there's some people who've got a list. It's either a good list or a bad list. And the people that have a bad list of, well, first it was this, then it was this, then that happened. Every time you talk to them, there's two or three more things on the list. And I want to say to them, you got to tear up that list. Because that list is running your life. How you doing? Well, since the last time we talked, things got so much worse. Now let me tell you what just happened. And I'm not saying I'm not compassionate about it. I'm just saying until you stop that list, the list now has become magnetic. The list has taken on a life of its own. That's why it's important to count your blessings, because the list can actually work for you. That's why anything good that happens to me, I want to immediately document it, photograph it, and post it. Because I'm trying to create that reality. If it was good, if this was positive, like when I'm with all my kids, I feel really happy. I'm like, let's take a picture. I want to post this. I'm happy that I have y'all. I'm happy that we had this night. I want to freeze frame this night. I want to remember this because I feel like the more I praise my life, the more I talk up the good stuff, it becomes more attractive to more good stuff happening. Now, I'm not saying you can't, I don't want to create some environment where you can't tell the truth. Sometimes stuff is happening and you need to say, we're going through some stuff right now. What I'm saying is when you just have said it over and over and over again, you know those people that have told you that story? Sometimes I'm in the middle of the story. I've actually had what I believe is the Holy Spirit stop me in mid-sentence and say, are you really going to tell this again? Really? Are you really telling this again? Now, look, I can... Believe me, I can repeat a story. I mean, I've been preaching for 46 years. You got to fill up a lot of times. You need material. When my kids used to do something funny, they go, Dad, please don't put this in your sermon. I'm like, I can't promise you. Because Daddy has to preach a lot, and this is some good material that you've just given me. And as long as you're under my roof, if I need to use yours, I'll try not to traumatize you. And if I do, you can work it out in therapy later. But this is too good a story not to use it. It's going to help somebody. If I can help somebody. Anyway, I used to have people in the church, if something funny would happen, they go, Bishop, please don't tell this. I'm like, I can't promise you that I would never embarrass you. I will keep you anonymous. But this one's too good not to tell. Even about myself, I even tell you stuff about me. I'm self-deprecating. I don't mind that. But the point is, going back to this quote that I love, I'm not saying you can't stop the storm. I'm not telling you not to take authority over stuff, because you know when it's time. But there really is something to knowing this too shall pass. Because most of the stuff that you freak out over is probably going to resolve itself anyway. I mean, really, you know, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. It might as well just say everything works out. It just does eventually. It just does. In the meantime, you can make a bad situation worse by overreacting to it. You can, it's nearly like injecting it with a steroid, and you make it more powerful than it should be. Again, I'm not advocating that you live in denial, but choose your battles. Some things just aren't worth. I mean, honestly, when I know podcast people didn't hear me tell this story, but when I called Judah yesterday and he said, Dad, we're not stressed about this, he was right. I thought, well, you know what? I let myself get worked up. You know, when it's somebody that doesn't answer the phone and you kind of got a stronghold going on with them. So as soon as they don't answer, you're automatically thinking, here we go. This would be resolved if you just answer this text. But that's not going to make, some people just aren't going to answer their stuff. They're just not. Let me tell you what's going to make you so much happier with your loved ones and your relatives. When you just realize this is how they are. There's no point in us sitting around talking about this because this is what they do. This is how they are. Why are we surprised at this? I mean, we already, what is the joke about the frog that gets on the alligator's back and he says, you're not going to eat me, are you? And he says, no, I won't. And then he starts to eat him and he says, well, I'm an alligator. Like, in other words, like, why are you surprised? I mean, think about your loved ones that have just done the same thing over and over and over again, and how many times you have talked behind their back to other loved ones about them. Well, that's just the way they are. At some point, y'all should talk about something else and just say, that's how they are. They're always late. So we might as well, when we have something, let's just tell them a different time. Or they don't answer text. All right. Well, then, let's just be prepared for that. They're not real good communicators. Why are you going to burn up all this energy being upset over something that you already know that's the way they are? And then if they surprise you and do better, then you're like, well, that's okay. Maybe I need to change some information about you because this is what I've thought about you. I'll give you the opportunity to change. You know, I don't like the words always and never because it locks people in. So give people the benefit of the doubt. But until they do change, until they do show you some growth, stop. You're doing it to yourself. You're sabotaging yourself, letting yourself get so upset with them. Well, every time I make plans with you don't show up. Well, stop making plans with them. If you know that, if it's happened more than once, then you know this person's not predictable. This person's not reliable. Then what you need to do is say, we're going to go to such and such a place. We're going to be there, with or without you. If you'd like to show up, pull up a chair. We'd love to have you. But the day of me sitting in a restaurant waiting to see, did they get the text? No, it doesn't matter. There's some people that Their phone's always going to die. They don't carry a charger with them. It shouldn't surprise you. At this point, you should be able to say, oh, apparently their phone has died. And they must not have a charger with them. I should know that by now. Well, what if something's happened to them? Well, I guess I'll have to cross that bridge when I get there. What if they're dead in a ditch somewhere? Well, I hope not. But if they are, I guess we'll go to the funeral. I hate to say stuff like that, but at a certain point, you think about how many times am I going to say the same thing about this person before I just say, this is how they are. This is how their brain is constructed. This is how they're wired. Why get yourself all worked up over something that you can't change? And if anything, people get in so... We got a laughing revival going on. They don't want to change. And furthermore, people have such weird codependent thing. It's like sometimes if people subconsciously know that you want them to change, it makes them double down to not change just because you don't have that kind of power over me. So there really is such a release to live and let live. And you don't have to defend them. When somebody says something to me about somebody that I love, I'm like, well, that's the way they are. Well, don't you know they did that? Like, that sounds about right. That kind of sounds like something they would do. Oh, am I? Are you the one that doesn't return the text? Mm-hmm. Because she's under conviction. Let the Lord have his way. Bring them to repentance, Lord. I'm just saying, there's some people that are very thoughtful and conscious, whatever. If you don't hear back from them, then you should be surprised. Other people, you shouldn't be so surprised. Ken has two sons. He has one son that returns text, one that doesn't. We can relate. Sometimes we share stories about our kids that don't return text, and we just laugh about it. Because ain't no point being upset about it, because that's the way they are. Communication's not real high priority with them. Is it aggravating? Yeah. Does it make them miss out on stuff? Yes. Should you talk to them about it? Don't make no difference. Because we already did. Lots of times. It doesn't change anything. So go to the park. I'm sorry to mean to make you have. Calm down. I don't mean to be funny enough to. Everybody, take a breath. I should have warned you I was going to be funny today. That's when you have to get an inhaler out because you're laughing. That's when you know. That's a good preacher right there. How'd you know he was good? Well, I had an asthma attack while he was preaching, so that's how I knew. But there is something, even what I was telling you last week about being at Judah's festival, there's all kind of things around there that I could have opinions about. Well, these kids shouldn't be doing this, they shouldn't be singing that. You know what? I don't have to have an opinion about it. I wasn't invited there to critique it. It just was what it was. And I understand what he's doing. I understand his. That's why Metron invested in it. I'm like, okay, you know what? For them, this is a positive experience. Not necessarily my cup of tea, but I get it. And so why don't I just enjoy the fact that my kids want me to be with them and we're taking pictures together and this other stuff. I don't need to have an opinion about that couple over there, whatever they're doing, because I don't know them, and that's their life. I'm going to go to a park, listen, sit on a bench and listen to a bird sing. I'm going to go to Jekyll Island and watch. I'm just amazed at it. Like, the surf goes out, and it comes back in. Oh, my God, look at it. Oh, there it goes again. It goes out, and it comes back in. Haven't you seen it before? Yeah, but I'm just blown away. It's like, I left it, and I came back, and it's still doing it. It just goes out. and it comes back in. I love that. And if you're not silent, you miss that kind of stuff. Even if something, this is, I haven't gotten in the ocean in years. I told you this last week, but when we were in Florida the other day, the water was warm enough. We actually got in the water, and it was like a wonderful experience. I thought, man, I can't believe I haven't done this in years. It felt good. I felt like the salt water was good for me. I felt like it was good for us. It was just like, this is a beautiful experience. It's clear enough that I could see what was around me, because I don't like when I can't see and everything. I'm like, what was that? I don't like that. Because seaweed can push me over the edge. But this was nice, clear, warm water, and I thought, this is beautiful. How can you go to this close to the ocean and not get in it? I mean, it was just a wonderful experience. The next thing I want to show you is, you're familiar with this, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is where we use the phrase, the peace that passes understanding. Let me show you in the concordant literal version. There's a phrase that is used here that really caught my attention. It says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that is superior to every frame of mind. That's a great phrase there. Any frame of mind that you could have, the peace of God is higher than that. It shall be garrisoning. Garrisoning is like it's a military term. It's like when somebody mounts garrison. It's like a guy that has a gun and guards a facility. He stands guard. This is saying the peace of God will guard your emotions, garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. But what I really love about that is it says any other frame of mind that you have. It says here that peace of mind is even higher than joy. Even as wonderful as it is to be happy, there's something even higher than that, and that's just being at peace. So that if you have a day, now let me be real with you here, if you have a day that you're not necessarily on top of the world, even that's okay. To say to your emotions, hey, you know what? Feel what you got to feel. I'm at peace. I'm at peace with whatever I need to feel today. And not even try to resist it. Next, I think this is a quote I want to show you. What we got next? This is the impossible names to pronounce day. François de la Rochefoucauld. Is that right? I took French. You think I should know how to pronounce that? It says, when we are unable to find tranquility within ourselves, it is useless to seek it elsewhere. True that. Let me tell you single people something. Relationships are wonderful. And if you can find the right relationship, I'm definitely pro-relationship. I also believe it's better to want something you don't have than have something you don't want. And if you don't have inner peace and you're waiting for somebody else to become your anchor, you're putting something on them that is unfair and unrealistic. Until you are whole within yourself, you probably don't need to even look for a relationship. Work on a relationship with yourself. Because if there's not tranquility on the inside, there's nothing external that's going to give it to you. There's not. You say, well, I'm going to go to the bar and throw a few of them back. That's fine. You know, get a designated driver or whatever. I'm not mad at you for that. But I can tell you, even that won't give you peace. That buzz will wear off, and you will find, I'm not at peace with this situation. I'm finding fault with it. I understand why somebody wants to do it. I get it. I mean, I understand. I know a minister's not supposed to say this, but I understand happy hour. I understand why people at the end of a work day want to chill out and have. I'm not even against that. I think you should be responsible with it, but don't think that's going to give you peace. Where does peace come from? It's the secret place of the Most High. It doesn't come from the same place with everybody. You have to find Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. They're plural. And not every key fits every lock. You have to find what gives you peace. I live in a very noisy city, but for me it's peaceful because I love it. Other people, it would drive them crazy. I mean, I basically hear traffic all night long, you know, and I'm so used to it, and somehow Ken's gotten used to it. It doesn't bother me. I love the city enough that I'm okay with that. When people say, isn't there a lot of noise? Like, yeah, it's a city. It's noisy. Aren't there a lot of people? Yeah, it's a city. There's a lot of people. Isn't there a lot of traffic? A lot of traffic. Goes on all night long. That gives me peace. Not everybody's wired that way. Even if I don't want to go out, I like to know that there's a possibility that I could. I might not go to Walgreens at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I love to know that I could because it's open 24 hours a day. Walgreens makes me happy. That gives me peace. The place that closes at 9 o'clock stresses me out a little because I think you got to get there. I actually prefer Publix to Kroger, but sometimes I'm out late and got to stop by the store. You better get to Publix because they're going to close, and they don't want you coming in there when it's about closing time. Now you go to Kroger, and there's a homeless guy you got to step over, sleeping in aisle 9. I mean, it's kind of a different thing, but at least you can. At least you can go if you just need Cheerios at 3 o'clock in the morning. But for other people, peace is being out somewhere, being in a quiet place. To me, if it's too quiet, I'm laying there going, what was that? Did you hear that? What was that? Sounded like a twig. A twig snapped. Where was that? It's all in how you're wired. So, and that's not even what I'm actually talking about. I'm talking about something much deeper than that. What really gives you peace? And then finally, it's just this one phrase. I don't even want to use the whole verse. It's just this one phrase from the King James Version where Jesus just says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I mean, I can quote the whole chapter to you. That's not the point. That's such a loaded statement because basically what he's saying is you have sovereignty over your own feelings, your emotions. You don't have to live in hysteria. You have the power. The inner voice in you can talk yourself down off that ledge. I know something is simple. I say this to you a lot, but sometimes if I'm driving and I'm trying to reach a deadline, I've noticed that I'm sitting in a strain in the driver's seat. Sometimes I'll even be pitched forward, you know, as if that's going to make this go any faster. And I'll actually say to myself, you need to settle down, let your shoulders relax, because you sitting like this ain't going to make this traffic go any faster. It's just not. But I've learned to, for lack of a better term, obey myself. Like, oh, okay. You know, let me turn on something on the radio I can listen to because this just is what it is. Again, it shouldn't shock you. Traffic. Why is there all this traffic at 4:30 in the afternoon? Because it's rush hour traffic. I can't live in that. Well, then you probably need to live somewhere else because in the city, there's going to be traffic at a certain time every day. It shouldn't be. What was it? Was it Einstein that said insanity is the doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? I mean, how many things do we just walk back into over and over again? Like, wow, I touched that hot stove and it burned my hand again. I can't believe it. You know, at some point you should say, maybe I won't touch that. Carol Burnett has a new series on Netflix. It's all right. It's an interesting concept where she brings celebrities in who has they have problems, and she has this panel of kids. It's kind of like those of you in my generation remember Art Linklater and Kids Say the Darndest Things. These kids will give their idea of how the adults should solve their problem. It's based on the idea A Little Child Shall Lead Them. And there's actually some validity to that. I mean, I can remember at different times when my kids were small, they would say things to me that were amazingly insightful. It was like, wow, that was really kind of like the word of the Lord. But she had Lisa Kudrow on there, and she had a problem because different people were wanting to have lunch with her at the same time, and she didn't know how to be there for everybody. And one of the kids said, well, just don't have friends. And she said, well, actually, that's actually pretty good advice, meaning you have a lot of people in your life, there's going to be a lot of demand on you. You have to control that. There's a proverb that always cracked me up. I don't remember the reference, but it says, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. But there is great strength in the ox. Meaning, it's a livestock reference. And it's saying if you have something in the barn, it's going to crap up the place. It just is. That comes with the territory. But if you're going to be farming back in the day, you need an ox. So it comes, there's just some things that come with it. Now, if you want a clean barn, don't have an ox. But you're not going to do a lot of plowing. So you have to understand, if you want relationships, relationships are demanding. If you don't want demands made on you, you should probably whittle that down a little bit. Because people are needy, and people are generally self-involved, and most times aren't thinking about... I had a thought this week, and these are thoughts that I have that I think I could post this, but I'm not going to. But just for a moment, I thought, I wish I had a pastor. Like several people called me during the day, and I sort of doled out wisdom, and then I thought, I wish I had that person. I mean, I have, you know, Bishop Flunder's technically my pastor, but we don't have that kind of relationship where I just call her during the day. You know, we don't know each other that well. And I just thought, well, I guess I'm going to have to pastor myself. You know, I know I'm an elder. I know what to say to myself. I know what's anybody going to tell me that I wouldn't know already. And so I just thought, oh, well, it's okay. I'm okay. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's kind of how I resolved it. Because just for a moment I thought, well, I don't have it. Who do I call? Everybody calls me. Who do I call? And I was like, well, you've got to call yourself. Isn't that sad? Look at y'all. Oh, how sad for him. No. No, Bishop, we're not thinking. We're just thinking, is that your seventh point? Are we done now? I was going to do a meditation today, but with our technical difficulties, I think that kind of ate up some of my time. But that's what we're going to be talking about this month. And the point is that serenity is a strong thing. It's not weakness. If something's about to go down like a bar fight or something, always watch out for that guy that's sitting there on the bar that's not saying anything. Because he's the guy that could really mess you up. The person that's in your face, you know, talking trash, they're probably just talking. It's Bubba down there at the end of the bar that's already killed several people. You remember the Kings of Comedy when Steve Harvey took that guy's jacket? His name was Boogie. Do y'all remember that? And he said, Boogie got up, got to the bathroom, and he says, now, Boogie, I'm not going to mess with you because you look like you already shot several people. But I'm from the hood. I'm not scared. You had to have seen it. It was funny. It's a classic. But the point is, there is strength in quietness. I'm not telling you how to have a bar fight. That's not my point. My point is, sometimes it's the quietness that really is, you know, that's what's going to change things. When you get sucked into the vortex of all the noise around you, the noise can become destructive, and you end up self-sabotaging. You have the right, even for those people that you have in your life that are always going to be, they're always involved in drama, they've always got crisis going on, you learn how to compartmentalize and say, all right, I'm going to give them some of my time, and I'm going to be there for them because I have to be there for them, but I'm not going to be pulled into that reality. I'm going to recognize that's how they live, but as for me and my house, we live in serenity. Because you can't, realistically, you just can't disconnect from everybody that's got issues because the whole world's got issues. But you also have to learn how to not take it home with you, how to let it go, where to put it in its proper place, and we're going to be talking about all those things this month. Did you get anything out of this today? All right. We made it. We got through technical difficulties, and we still did our thing. You're okay? Did I make you laugh? Let's all stand. See? It's because y'all don't hear me enough. See, these people, see, they weren't even laughing because they're jaded. Like, they were like, they don't even think I'm funny. They're like, really? You think this is that funny? See, that's why y'all should come every Sunday, because then you just won't think I'm that funny. It's when you haven't heard me in a minute. I'm just kidding. I'm just glad everybody's here. Please remain standing, and we'll do the official closeout for the YouTube audience. Please.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
And I
simply text the amount you would like
visitors,
to give.
Welcome
to 404
whoever you are,
620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the Support tab. Then, My Online Donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
Keep Tondi in your prayers. I'm sure that's Danny thought they might be here today, but they are still walking through some stuff with her. They're strong in their faith, so they're gonna prevail. But just be aware, if you are making a check, make it to JESM, and somebody be back there to receive it. If you have cash, just pay it forward, give it to somebody, be a blessing to somebody, take somebody to lunch. There's plenty of indigent people out here that I'm sure would be happy to. You could bless them. And I just speak a blessing of serenity over you. I speak tranquility. I speak to your emotions. Even though we didn't specifically lead a meditation today, I call you into a meditative state where you keep your mind stayed on Him. He keeps you in perfect peace, the peace that passes understanding, that you learn how to get to the other side, not just how to stop the storm, that you make it from point A to point B. I call you into next level thinking. You are in charge of your emotions. You're in charge of your heart. Proverbs says, he who rules his own spirit is stronger than one who takes a city. So you rule your spirit. You rule your emotions. Whatever you face this week, remember how strong you are, how powerful you are. You are created in the God class. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. I love you so much. Peace.